on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Well, that was a little too close for comfort in a game where the Dodgers really should have just absolutely crushed the Reds. But it was a close call. Dodgers bullpen almost blew it, but the Dodgers are up 1-0 in the NL wild card round against the Cincinnati Reds. We are back. It's Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California, Brandon Bullinger. How are you feeling, buddy?
Jesse, I am feeling like I have a 1-0 wild card series lead. So all in all, not bad, but I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you the truth about how high my anxiety was. That was just disgusting. I don't know what, how else to say it. It was just a disgusting performance. We just became allergic to throwing strikes. If there's one thing the Dodger bullpen hates, it's a significantly impressive performance from a Dodger starter because they know they got to work overtime to just blow it all to hell. Jess, I don't know where you want to start. I know we were texting about it live during the game, and you know, you had a problem with Vesia coming in early.
Yeah.
To be a stopgap for a potential problem like that. And I think that you were spot on. I think it was a bad call by Doc.
Yeah. You know, because Blake Snell, first off, before I get to the Vesia decision, was amazing. He's 7 innings, 2 runs. He just absolutely handled business. There was a time where I was like, oh, this guy, he's going to go 8 innings. He might get a complete game. He was at like 70 pitches through six shutout innings, struggled a little bit in the seventh. And that was all she wrote for him, but he was so good. He leaves the game with a 10-2 lead, and you know, everything was going perfectly in this game.
Groovy.
And it was making me kind of feel like, oh, because of what we saw in the Seattle series and in the series before that, I forget who they played. I'm blanking on it right now. But they finished the season so strong. The bullpen was starting to sort of come into form with the you know, Roki coming back. You know, we were going to put Kershaw out of the pen. Trinan looked a little bit better. You know, even Tanner Scott had a clean outing, I think, in one of the final games of the season. So things were starting to really feel like, okay, they could have some momentum going into this round. Thank God this wasn't a close game, dude, because that was brutal in the eighth inning. And, you know, the decision to go to Vesia there, the reason why I have a problem with it is he's arguably been our most reliable reliever this season. The ERA doesn't really show it. He's like a 3.04 ERA, which is good. It's not like elite for a you know, high leverage reliever, but he has been our most consistent guy this year because Tanner Scott has not been good and Blake Trinan has not been good. Michael Kopech has not been available for most of the year. So it's been Vesia doing all the heavy lifting. And you put him in there in the eighth inning of a 10-2 game. You know, and it just felt like a great opportunity to give him that extra day. You know, put in somebody like Robleski for 2 innings, I think makes a lot of sense there. You know, I think that would have been a fine decision. Like, give Robo like the leash to give up one or two runs before you start thinking about you know, going to any of your high leverage guys. I didn't like the decision. It feels like it felt unnecessary to me, and now here he is. He's thrown 23 pitches and got one out. You know, and now is he burned for, you know, he might be available tomorrow, but like that'll make him burned for a game 3 if the Dodgers lose. So yeah. I didn't like the decision to go with Vesia there. That being said, you know, they still won the game, but you know, Edgardo Henriquez, I really like his stuff. He's starting to feel like the moment is maybe a little too big for him because he was all over the place, not throwing strikes. If he throws strikes, he's like the best pitcher in the Dodgers bullpen.
It's a big if, though, right? You know, and that's the caveat to him. An absolutely electric arm. They were saying it on the radio broadcast. I was transferring from watching the game to getting my daughter home and all tucked in. But dude, they were saying it like 102 down the middle for a base hit. You know, an RBI base hit doesn't mean anything when you've thrown seven pitches at 100 miles an hour or more. You know, if you can't locate anything, you can't throw an off-speed pitch for a strike. Well, you know, big league hitters can time that up, and yeah, you saw it. And what was just driving the crowd nuts, you could hear it on the radio. I mean, you could see it live as well. But, I mean, is that a lot of these balls were just completely non-competitive. Out of the hand.
That was so frustrating. It was like we just gave the Reds three runs for no reason. Like it just felt like we just gave them three runs.
Absolutely. And it was just
chance to tie it too. Like that was, sorry to interrupt you, but like I think when Dreyer got strike three against Stevenson or whoever it was that had a big long, like a 10-11 pitch at bat.
Yeah, he was battling.
That was ball four. Like that could have been ball four, 10-6 Dodgers. With De La Cruz on deck,
yeah,
to tie the game. You know what I mean? Like that's just
I heard Steven Nelson saying like, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but the tying run is on deck, and it's like, what? Like,
no, it's just ridiculous. It was just a bad performance by the Dodgers bullpen, and I think even like Doc, he'd want that Vesia decision back if he could have it. I don't, but. He pulled Edmund from the game early too, which is, you know, Rojas had an at bat in the eighth inning, which should have been Edmund's spot, or maybe I have that wrong, but either way, Edmund was out of the game, so he couldn't hit in the eighth inning when the Dodgers started getting some runners on base to, you know, not saying you need insurance when you have a 5-run lead, but it kind of felt that way. Like my friend and I were joking, we were texting, we were like, so it's 5-0. How many more runs do we need? Because it's like, and it turns out it wasn't enough, you know? So,
well, it wasn't enough.
That's not a good place to be, you know, against the Reds.
No, it's definitely not. And we were talking about that, you know, like a Phillies team, like they take advantage of an inning like that, you know, a Padres team, a Cubs team, what have you, Brewers. The point is you just can't, in this time of the season, you just can't give teams extra outs. You can't give teams free runs, more importantly. But to, you know, come back on the other side of it, Blake Treinen looked like 2024 Blake Treinen. That was some nasty wizardry. Mm-hmm. My boy was just bending it like Beckham out there. I saw that sweeper. I forget who it was. Left-handed batter. The ball breaks back in towards the plate and catches the inside corner. I mean, my wife was like, holy shit. I was like, right? Yeah. Like, what do you do with that? It's just, it was very comforting after seeing a very laborious couple of innings from a bullpen that you think, wait a minute. Wait, this is just the eighth inning? I thought this was four fucking innings. You know what I mean?
No, and to
and
be
Jess,
clear,
real
like,
quick, I just wanted to your point. Yes, my glasses are my daughter's. I just wanted you to know that I am wearing a fresh pair of children's glasses. We're going to keep it going through the run. You know what I mean? Good juju all around.
I like it.
Jess, I did want to throw. Go ahead.
Just
really
quick. I do want to say, and I'll turn it to you. We might be coming off – Dodger fans watching this right now, I hope you haven't, you know, already changed the video because we're being so negative about the team right now. We're just being critical of the way that inning played out because it felt very unnecessary because it got pretty scary there for a second.
Yeah. It didn't feel good. Let's be honest with ourselves. If we just ask ourselves in our hearts, that didn't feel good, right? Let's be honest out there, Dodger fans.
And I'm upset because – I'm so excited by what I saw in this game. So excited by what I saw. That the fact that it was even at risk was like, this can't happen. You're not going to beat the Phillies if this doesn't happen. And so that's why I'm getting frustrated. But just to point out the good things, Ohtani leads off the game with a homer, hits two home runs. He's ready for the moment. Teoscar Hernandez.
Ooh, you know what time it is.
Four RBIs. He's the ultimate X factor of the Dodgers. Wow. I mean, we all year long, when Teoscar is going, the Dodgers might be the most unstoppable offense in baseball. I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Doc was asked in the postseason about like his wish lists for what he wanted the front office to go after. And one of them was a clutch hitter, you know, who can get the big hit in the moment. And he was referring to Teo. And again, it's another postseason. I hope this is, you know, a sign of things to come in the future. But it is another encouraging sign, at least, that this guy is built for the moment, much like Kike. Maybe it's in that Hernandez name. You know, it's built for the moment.
Them it's big built ABs. For LA, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Very Hollywood. And, Jess, what I wanted to say, you know, to your point about us, like, hey, we're just airing out some of those, you know, critiques early. There's plenty to be positive about. You know, like you said, the two homers from Ohtani, the two homers from Teo. Mookie had great ABs. Freddie had great ABs. We saw the tank from Tommy. You know, everybody except from, I believe, Muncy and Páez had a hit. But Jess, the real loser of this game, and honestly, the real loser of the playoffs over ESPN. I'm so glad they're done with baseball. The freaking Yankees game, they have that dramatic collapse in the ninth. Hey, bases loaded, no outs. Oh, we're going to win. We're going to come back. No, we're not. But that eats in to the whole first inning of the Dodgers game. So I'm watching on ESPN2 WNBA pregame. No disrespect to Caitlin Clark and whoever. But I'm watching this, Ohtani come up to bat. It's the middle of his AB.
Yeah.
Hunter Green's in his windup, and it clicks over, and it's like, thank you for joining us for the pregame WNBA. Oh! I switch back to ESPN, and the ball's in the right field pavilion. And I can't believe I miss the playoff bang, the arrival of Shohei Ohtani in the 2025 postseason because of programming, like indecisions because of ESPN's bullcrap. Like, get out of here. So poorly done.
And I also saw that in the Cubs Padres game, the Cubs hit the go ahead home run and the crowd went crazy, but ESPN silenced the crowd noise. Like, they muffled the crowd noise so that the announcers could be heard more clearly. Like, that just says that you don't have a feel for the game.
Absolutely.
You don't have a feel for the sport.
Absolutely.
In their defense, I don't know what you do when you have Yankees, Red Sox in the ninth inning, bases loaded. It's like that's a scheduling issue on MLB, I think. And ESPN. There's got to be a better workaround to that. Like, maybe you do a split screen, or maybe you like
got to do a split screen because, dude, there's only one Shohei Ohtani. It's Shohei, baby.
But
that's
prime time. But if you're a Yankee fan or Red Sox fan, do you really want in that moment? Do you really want to be watching like first inning of the Dodger game while this intense moment is happening? I don't know.
To 2 points here. One, I just want to touch on. I get it. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment for the broadcaster. But whatever. It should have been to Ohtani. We missed a incredible home run. But anyways, that's here nor there. Number two, Dodger fans, anybody that listened to LA radio for any extended period of time over the last 60-something years knows that Vin Scully would preach in a big moment like that. He would just be quiet. He lets the crowd tell the story. He lets the roar of the crowd inform the listener of the magic that's taken place. And I think that's what's so special about, like, a great, one of the all-time great broadcasters of all time, saying that, hey, silence is key. God, could ESPN learn anything or do? Oh, there's Urgato.
Yeah,
but it was just
he's making
silly.
An appearance because he's being pretty annoying, so I had to pick him up. Yeah,
I'm
no,
saying
I,
it's silly how bad the ESPN broadcast has been.
I agree. I think it's going to be better for the game that they're out of the business. They just clearly didn't really have interest in it at a certain point. Their contract was like just an obligation. It wasn't it wasn't something they were interested in doing. But you know, and just to get back to what a great day this was, should have been a better day for the Dodgers. Still a great day.
Yeah.
That Blake Snell contract is just feeling better and better and better and better by the game. He's been so great. I know I already kind of broke down his outing, but you know, I just want to give the man his props because you know there was some
give
debate
him his flowers.
About. There was some Give debate about whether it should have been him, Yama, or Shohei for game one. I think he more than passed the test and proved why that was the right decision.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Decision. So I do applaud him and the Dodgers for going with Snell in game one.
100%. Final line for Snell real quick. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 1 walk, 9 Ks on 91 pitches with 57 strikes. Dude was attacking. I mean, that slider, I know you mentioned that chase and that long at bat, that dryer got that slider breaking. But like what I saw was a little bit of what Snell had going, like, oh man, I'm just trying to get you on that fastball. You think you're on it. Nope, it's a slider, not even in the zone. And
his changeup too.
Changeup away was filthy, dude.
Yeah, like changeup to righties, he just like neutralized him all game. It was really, really impressive to watch.
It was so nice to be on this side of a Blake Snell postseason just spanking, dude.
Question really quick.
Hit me.
Do you think Hunter Green regrets that video of him on the Dodger Stadium mound where he's like, you know, like touching the dirt, like praying and you know, getting ready for his big moment? Because it was not a good day for Hunter Green, who I actually really like. And I kind of think the Dodgers might sign him in 2 years, if I'm being honest, because he is a Notre Dame kid. He's from Los Angeles. So he went to Notre Dame in the San Fernando Valley.
I didn't know that.
Which is, you know, that's really close to my apartment.
Oh, but wow.
Not a good day for Hunter Green and his first playoff outing. Do you think he regrets that?
I don't think he regrets it. And to be honest, I was fired up about it. I heard his quote a little bit about being at the World Series just as like a fan, and was like, way he was hyping himself up was like, I was here as a fan last year, you know, but like, I'm here right now. And like, I thought it was rad. You know, like you said, he grew up in the Valley right there. Yep. Like, probably grew up going to a ton of Dodger games. I'm sure that mound has special significance. So to get his first playoff start on that mound, I'm sure meant something special. So no, the hater in me would love to rip it apart, but the ball just lover in me. I mean, I'm a Hunter Green fan, so it sucks that he, you know, didn't perform well, but as a Dodger fan, that's I loved it. I loved every second of it.
I'm being a hater right now.
Fair. And to be fair, Jesse, you were a hater on Blake Snell's merch early in the season. After this performance, if the Dodgers win this series, are you going to buy a Blake Snell shirt?
I love that question. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm eating crow on that, and I think I'm going to wear some Snellzilla merch.
Let's go, dude.
Start day. So I'm going to take a look on his website and see what I can get.
I'm ready to get Snellzilla out, dude. Go to snellzilla.com, dude. You heard it here first. Deferred collusion, dude.
We're going to have to do some sort of collab with him for Snellzilla merch.
That'd be rad.
you know, obviously this October baseball, it's not October yet, but, you know, Kike wanted to get off to an early start and he looked really good tonight, but he did leave the game with back tightness. We don't know yet the severity of it. That's a tough loss for the Dodgers because he's such a valuable player for the team and what they do, especially in October. Level of concern, or do you have where are you at?
Dude, do you want to know what my first thought was when I heard Kike left the game with back tightness?
What?
Was that God loves Michael Conforto. I was like, we got to get him out there, dude. We got to get him in left field. That's all there is to
it. I mean, dude, like, I talked a little bit about it on social media, but we haven't really discussed this. Like, what a statement that is to keep Conforto off of the roster because, you know, it makes sense because in this series, tomorrow you're going to face Nick Lodolo. If it goes to a game three, you're going to probably face Andrew Abbott. Both are lefties. So it makes sense that Conforto wouldn't be playing those games, but they gave the spot to Justin Dean on the playoff roster.
Defensive wizard.
Like, basically what they're saying to Conforto is like, we don't even trust you to be a late game defensive replacement. Mm. You know, so, and I think.
Doc said he had to have a tough conversation, but it was honest. But I'll be honest.
He also had a quote about Will Smith, like, because Will Smith's on the roster as a pinch hitter. And he was basically like, who do I trust, you know, more? He kind of implied like, it's, like, if I'm going to have a pinch hitter, like, I trust Will Smith more than Michael Conforto, basically.
And how do you argue with that? Like, honestly, there is no arguing with it. And just to add the little, I think, final nail in that, when Clayton Kershaw isn't on your playoff roster and isn't complaining about it, I think it's pretty hard for anybody else on the team to bitch. You know, you just kind of got to just eat it and be like, I'm a team player, whatever you need.
That's a pretty good point. I can't argue with that. Tomorrow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto pitches against Nick Lodolo. Lefty had a good year. Lodolo went 9-8 with a 3.3 ERA, 1.08 WHIP. So he's a pretty good young pitcher. And so what we might see, different lineups. Sucks that if Kike is not available, that sucks because he's especially effective against lefties. So we'll have to see what the Dodgers do for the lineup. But today, Brandon, just to sort of shift, great day for the Dodgers. They're up 1-0. You know, they're in great position to get back to the division series and go to Philadelphia. But today was just a great day overall. I mean, every game was good.
Very exciting baseball.
Dodger game was a little boring at times, but, you know, if you're not a Dodger fan or a Reds fan, it's a little boring at times. But, you know, overall, every game was really exciting and intense today. But today was the day of the great lefty aces. You had,
well said, wow,
started off with Tarik Skubal going what was it, 8 innings with 14 strikeouts. I have to get this, hold on a second, just give me 1 second here. So Tarik Skubal, Tigers win 2-1. Skubal was insane today, dude. He went 7 2/3, 3 hits, 14 strikeouts.
Dude, wow.
14 strikeouts. Garrett Crochet was unbelievable as well. He went, I think he went
7 2/3 as well. 4 hits, 1 earned run, 11 Ks, 0 walks, Big Daddy.
And then in that same game, Max Fried, the left-handed ace for the Yankees, went 6 1/3, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts. He left the game, but the bullpen immediately blew it. Aaron Boone brought in Luke Weaver after Fried gets an out in the seventh, and Weaver ends up giving 2 runs without giving up without getting an out.
Yeah, gave up 2 hits, a walk. Yeah. You know, like you said, the 2 runs. Chapman got into a little bit of a pickle himself there in the bottom of the ninth. Well, he actually pitched third of an inning in the eighth as well.
We'll talk about the game in a second. But then cap it off, Blake Snell for the Dodgers, 7 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts. It's just what a day for lefty aces in Major League Baseball. I mean, every single one of them shoved. Every single one of them. It was pretty impressive to watch. To see, and you know, every game was good. You know, they were all down to the wire, 1-run, 2-run games, and you know, that's just, that was a great way to kick off playoff baseball. But Yeah, let's talk about the Yankees Red Sox game a little bit, because that was a wild ending. The Red Sox were losing 1-0, ended up taking the lead in the seventh, adding on an insurance run in the ninth. Yankees came out, had the bases loaded off of Aroldis Chapman to start the ninth inning.
Ooh.
And then failed to score a run.
It was the most Yankee, just Aaron Boone era, like Yankee loss. Yeah. I mean,
to the Red Sox, too. For that to happen to the Red Sox on your home field, I think is brutal. That's one of the more brutal playoff losses, brutal scenarios I could think of for how the Yankees could have lost that game. Yeah. And it's a big like deal, Brandon, your head you actually put a little stat up here that's kind of important.
It really is, dude. So of this new, you know, best of three wild card series era that we're in, the team that has won game one advances to the division series 90% of the time. They have won 18 of 20 series, and of those 18, 16 series were won by sweeping the opponent. Jess, I don't know if you're a big math guy, but that means that the winner of game one's got a bit of an edge moving forward.
Yep.
Dodger fans, we've been hurt so many ways and in so many places. We know we're not getting ahead of ourselves. But I think we all feel pretty good with our ace, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, on full rest, getting a start in a potential wild card clinching, you know, sending us on to the division game. And I would feel really good having that day off before going to Philly and fighting. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want this to go three games. I don't want that for my psyche to start off the playoffs here. That's why I was a little annoyed today, because I was like, oh, we're getting off to a nice, comfy start. Like, the uncomfortable games are going to happen, a few days from now. But no, yeah. they got uncomfortable right away. That was annoying. You know, I'm just being bitter. I'll just be honest. But do want to ask you one question, because you mentioned, so 90% of the teams go on to win the wild card round after winning game one, right? Out of all of these teams, which one do you think has the best chance of coming back in the series?
I mean, my heart wants to say the Padres. That bullpen is so good. There's so much pitching talent, you know, with Cease and Darvish. And I still think that Machado and Tatis and Merrill is a good enough 1-2-3, and you throw a rise on there as like a, I don't know, just a spark plug.
But I think that's a good enough in the second half too.
Totally fair. You know, you got Cronenworth in there, and you got Laureano. There's you know, I think they got Freddie Fermin at catcher, but there's some real offensive options, I guess. I know they haven't been hitting for power this year, not a lot of pop, and that was the difference in today's game. You know, back-to-back homers off of Pivetta with Suzuki and the other guy's name, shit. Totally skipping on me.
I'm blanking on it, too. to your point, though, I mean, like, it was a bad day for Tatis and for Machado, and, you know, if they go out though in game two, because I agree with you, I do think the answer is the Padres. I think if not the Padres, I would actually lean Guardians.
Dude, get out of my head. Get out of there.
Only because I think Tigers are a very flawed team, where I think like the Yankees have a much taller task than to get past the Red Sox in two next two games. I think that the Guardians could come back and win that series. But, yeah, I do think the answer is Padres. But, man, like, not if you're going to have at-bats like they had today. Like, you know, I like to dunk on the Padres. I like to make fun of them. But I am being serious when I say, like, if they lose, something's got to change. Because there's just something wrong there. That team should be better than this. They have the talent to really, you know, threaten for the World Series every year. And if you go out with a whimper, think about this. Going back to game four of the NLDS last year, they've scored one run in three games. in three playoff games. They've scored one run in the last three playoff games. So, I mean, something has to change for that team, because that's just, you just can't have that with that, with the amount of money that they've spent, the amount of trades that they've made, the bullpen that they have. You know, that's not good. That's really not good.
Jesse, let me ask you this question, and I hate to bring up a team that I would say is irrelevant, but if the Yankees get knocked off, if they lose back-to-back games at home, get knocked off in the wild card round by the Boston Red Sox, who do you think had the worst season? The Mets for not making the playoffs, or the Yankees for being swept at home by their, you know, hated rival?
I think it's a fair question. I mean, I think that the Mets are, we oddly enough, might have like more to look forward to, even though I think because Judge is like 35, you know, Stanton is only getting older. I mean, he hit into a double play tonight, and I mean, the dude is like, he's jogging like I am twice as fast as Giancarlo Stanton.
He struck out with bases loaded, you know, in the ninth. Bases
loaded, you know, and I still think he's like a good hitter, but he's just, you know, he's a one-dimensional player at this point. And I think that the future, there's a bright future for the Mets with their ownership, and I think that we're going to see Steve Cohen go scorched earth this offseason to go get a starting pitcher. Like, he's going to get Michael King or Dylan Cease. He's going to get one of those two guys.
Jesse.
Shane Bieber.
There's a lot of ire
so really
pointed
quick,
at Aaron
question,
Boone as well.
That's what I was about to say. To answer your question, I still think it's a worse season for the Mets because they blew it so bad. I mean, that was honestly one of the worst like endings to a season you could have imagined for them. But it's just bad for the Yankees in general because – the Judge era has a window to it that's going to be closing in a few years, and you're probably going to have to fire Aaron Boone. You know, like, there's just really no choice. Like, who knows? What is Garrett Cole going to be coming back from Tommy John? You know, like, there's a lot of questions with that team that and with the how the Blue Jays looked this season, the arrival of the Boston Red Sox. They're doing this without Roman Anthony. They're who's just came into the league, who looks like he's going to be a superstar. I'm worried about this era of the Yankees. I'm not sure that they're going to stand the test of time. I think that they have like a 2 or 3 year window.
Jesse, can I tell you what I think about the current state of the Judge era?
Yeah.
I think it ended the day Garrett Cole announced that he was getting another Tommy John. I think that was the end of the Judge era as we know it. I don't think that they are legitimate contenders for the World Series. I think there's a lot of other talent. And I think until there is a major reshuffling in New York, I don't think that window is open. I think that Judge era window is currently closed without a major reinvestment into this team.
I agree that the window, like, I think that it's here. The window is here, right? It's closing. I don't know if it's closed because, I mean, think of it this way. They were...
it's closed, but it can be reopened.
If they win this series, if they come back and win, right? They were tied for the best record in the American League this year. You know, like, they were one win away from having a bye into the American League Division Series. So, like, and they went to the World Series last year. And they lost Juan Soto, and they still were tied for the best record in the American League. So, like, if they get past the Red Sox here, if they somehow come back and win, I actually think they have a good chance of making the World Series. I don't think that they'll win the World Series. I think that, like, the Phillies or the Dodgers, maybe the Brewers, would beat the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I do. I do think if that matchup happens, I do think that's the case. But, like, I think that the window is now. Is the problem for the Yankees. I don't think it's closed. I just think it's right now. And if you blow it against your fucking hated rival, it's no bueno, man. Aaron Boone gone, and they're going to be doing some reshuffling.
Well, there you have it on that. I mean, Yanks proved me wrong. Jesse's Rose got faith. I will be happily proved wrong, but until otherwise seen, you're going to let Trent Grisham run out there and take four Ks and not put in a pinch hitter. I think
Jazz Chisholm, you're not going to put him in the starting lineup because you're up against a lefty. Like,
crazy, dude.
That makes sense to me at all.
Guy had a 30 home run season. You're like, yeah, you don't need to start. What, dude? Like,
he was pissed, by the way. He was in the, I don't know if you saw his post game interview, but he was pretty mad. He didn't even want to talk to the media. He was pretty upset.
I get it, man. I totally get it. But hey, that's not the team I cover, brother.
I got to say, I you know, this wasn't, I was hoping to have a much more positive outlook on the Dodgers, and I still really do. I like what I saw today. I still think that, like, we're in great, great shape to win tomorrow and then go into Philadelphia with some momentum. Those Phillies fans' butts are getting clenched. I promise you, brother. I promise you. They're getting nervous about
I feel it, man.
I just want to see more consistency from the bullpen. I want to see better decisions by Doc. I want to see some Emmett Sheehan coming out of the bullpen. I want to see some Roki. I want to see some fucking strikes, dude. I just want to see them throw some strikes. So that's it. That's all I want to see.
I would love a strike. For the love of God, just give us some strikes. That's all I want for Christmas are a couple of strikes.
Last topic of the day because we got to go. It's getting late. Breaking news earlier today. I don't know if it's official yet, but there's a report from Hector Gomez or who is reporting another report that the Angels might be announcing Albert Pujols as their next manager of the Angels.
Hey,
what do you think? Is this the ultimate? Is this the most Artie Moreno move you've ever heard in your life, or do you actually like it?
I actually like it because I love Albert Pujols. Tio Albert is the man. But I'm not going to pretend like Artie Moreno just didn't almost kill Ron Washington. Like, dude, you almost took a fucking legend from us. So I'm not gonna just like rest and like watch you take T.O. Albert from us. So Artie, I'm watching you. But again, it just feels like a distraction. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, you'll do anything but just like sign a pitcher or release a list. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know.
It feels like a gimmick to put people in the seats. Like your biggest free agent signing is gonna be your coach.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. All right, because you can draw seats with a $5 million contract instead of, like, I don't know, investing in your minor leagues and player development, analytics department, and who cares? It's the playoffs. The Angels don't exist, baby. Dodgers are up.
That's right,
1-0. Cubs fans rejoice. You're up 1-0. Guardians fans, you got to be sick to your stomach. We haven't given you any shit. You just can't get a guy over 90 feet after a throwing error from your boy Javi Baez. Come on, you bums. You talk about wasting talent, dude.
The Yankees bailed the Guardians out today, by the way. The Yankees bailed the Guardians out because everybody's talking about the wasted opportunities by the Yankees when they should have been talking about the Guardians. You're right.
Yeah. But also, you know what? I'll give it the Tarek Skubal bump. You know, everybody goes like, look, if they're going to lose one, it's going to be to the best pitcher in the American League, you know?
I agree. I mean, that's like, it's not like the Tigers were able to do much, you know? So, Guardians are in good shape, I think, if they can win tomorrow. Put it that
way. But,
hey. All right, this was a fun one. Dodgers up 1-0. Game two is tomorrow. Yamamoto versus Lodolo. If the Dodgers win, they're on to Philadelphia. We'll be locked in. We might be doing one of these every night, Brando. I don't know.
We're going to try. See. I'm up in a few hours, so I'm going
to
try.
I know you got to go to bed, so I'm going to let you go. I know, but you're a fucking champion for doing this with me. I appreciate
it. Hey, you're a champion. All our baseball heads out there, enjoy the anxiety. If your team's up 1-0, congrats. If you're down 0-1, keep the faith. We're riding with you. If you stuck with us this long, you know we love you. Give us a like, a share, a comment, whatever you could do. It helps us so much. We are your blue-collar boys. Deferred Collusion. That is your king of Crespi, the ball knower himself, the Irish king, Jesse James Rowe. Your boy over here, the Lord Paramount, Brandon Bollinger. You know, just a couple of ball knowers that want to know you. Tell us what we miss, what we can do. And I hope you guys just have a great playoff season. Jesse, I love getting to talk ball with you, brother.
I love you. I love it too. I couldn't have said it better myself. So we'll end it there. Go Dodgers.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.